Well, I want to encourage you as we come back to our series on the character of God this morning to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll find that on page 1153 if you're using one of the church Bibles this morning. We're going to come to that passage in a few minutes, but it'd be helpful if you have it out in front of you this morning. So when we get to it, we can go straight into it and we can read it through together. Not sure how well this photograph will work on the screen behind me this morning, but I want to take you perhaps to a place that many of you have been or to an experience that many of you have had, and that's standing in the middle of somewhere that's really dark, perhaps on a winter's evening when there are no clouds and there's none of that horrible orange light pollution around you, and you're standing in the middle of the country and you look up and you see a few stars. And then you take another look, and as your eyes become accustomed to the darkness, you begin to see more stars. And before long, the whole of God's handiwork is just laid out before you. It's an awesome sight when you have the opportunity to stop and to look up. We don't do it very often, do we? And it's actually hard for us to do it, perhaps around Bangor where we live, where the streetlights are so strong. You really need to go out into the country. But when you do that and you stand, it's an awesome experience. Because in a sense, the more you see, the more you look, the more you see. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience and then thought to yourself, is it really possible that there's a God in this universe who loves me? Because you're struck by the vastness of the universe, which is over your head, and the infinity of what you're looking at. And then you think to yourself, is it possible that God could really love me? Or maybe you sort of reflect on our place in the universe and you think our planet is just one planet of millions of planets that are out there. And you find yourself thinking to yourself sometimes, is it really possible that God could love me? In the infinite world in which we live, is it really possible that God could love me? Well, you look at the brokenness of the world in which we live, and you only have to turn on the television once in the day to be reminded of the brokenness of our world. And to think to yourself, is there really a God who loves us? And if so, what does that love look like? One of the things that's come out of the Sunday morning series on the character of God is this, and I want you to hear this loudly and clearly this morning. And that is that you really matter to God. I wonder if you need to hear that this morning. For some of you in this room this morning, this last week has been a tough, tough week. There's been some tough battles. There's been some life-changing experiences. And maybe as you sit here this morning, you feel like the most unloved person on this planet. I want to say to you this morning that you really matter to God. And one of the things that we've been learning on this Sunday morning series is this, that we have a God who knows everything about us. A God who is all-powerful. A God who is forgiving. A God who is our anchor in the storm. A God who knows everything about every circumstance of our lives. And I want you to hear loudly and clearly this morning, the message from God's word is this to you. I love you. You really matter to God. But the real danger as we come to these series of Sunday mornings, that what we do is we look at the various aspects of God's character, wonderful though these aspects of God's character are, and we can fill our heads with knowledge. And we can go out of here knowing more about God's character. And perhaps being awed by some of the things that we learn about God's character, but does it move from our head to our hearts? Does it move from what we're hearing on a Sunday morning and learning together from God's word on Sunday morning? And does it move into the experience that you have in the week? That is the challenge of this series. Because there's a real danger as you look at the character about a series about the character of God that we begin to fill our heads with more knowledge about who God is. And the challenge of this series for me, and I hope you're picking up the challenge that Johnny and I are trying to apply God's word into each of our lives as we go through this series, is that these things matter on a day-to-day basis. It's not just about filling your heads with more of the knowledge of who God is. And as I was reflecting on that, I came across this very challenging statement, which I want to use this morning to challenge us as we come to look at the love of God. Here's how it states, how it starts. How little real love there is for God. One chief reason for this is because our hearts are so little occupied with his wondrous love for his people. Let's just stop there for a minute. When did you last stop to reflect on the love that God has for you? The statement goes on. the better we are acquainted with his love. And here's the challenge, its character, its fullness, its blessedness. The more our hearts will be drawn out in love to him. In other words, what I want to suggest to you this morning is that the more we understand the nature of God's love, as we look at God's word together this morning, the more our hearts will be drawn to him. That is my prayer for this morning. God has already answered that prayer in my own preparations. I've looked at this subject this morning. God's heart, my heart has been drawn to God in my love for him because I've been overwhelmed again by the love that God has for people like you and me. And I want to share that challenge with you today as we come to think about the God who loves us. I love the last phrase of this quotation. The more we know and we understand the love of God, the more we will be drawn towards him. And my prayer for you today is that as we look at the love that God has for us this morning, that you and I will be overwhelmed by God's love for us again. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, that you would hear something this morning about the overwhelming love that God has for you, and you will be drawn to him in some irresistible way. And before you leave this building this morning, you will go out knowing that you're a follower of Christ and you are deeply loved by God. One of the things we often say from the front here is that there is nothing that you and I can do to make God love us any more or any less. Now, why do we say that? We say that because we're told in the New Testament, in 1 John 4 and verse 8, not only that God loves us, but that God is love. That is very, very important this morning. There are only three things that we're actually told about the nature of God. We're told that God is light, we're told that God is spirit, and we're told that God is love. What we're looking at this morning is not just another characteristic of God, it is part of who he is. That is why we can say this morning there is nothing that you and I can do that will make God love us any more or any less, because God is love. That is part of who he is. So what kind of love are we talking about? It's a really important question to ask, isn't it? Because when we start to think about love, we immediately start to think about our human understanding of love. And the danger is when we come to a subject like this morning, we take our human understanding of love and we project it onto God, and then we end up with a God who's perhaps just a God who loves us a little bit more than we can love people around us. That is not the way to understand the love of God. Or we go to some of the funny little cartoons that you find in the newspaper sometimes that just make us smile. Love is not asking her how much her new dress costs. Your husband's smiling this morning. Love is willing him to call you. Isn't that lovely, huh? Love is willing him to call you. Love is taking her home safely. Love is when he nibbles your ear. Love is a necessity, but not a luxury. You see the problem? When we begin to sort of take our sentimental view of love, the danger is that we sort of get a bigger version of that sentimental love and we project it onto God and we think, that's how God loves me. But I want to show you this morning that God's love for us could not be more different than the love that you and I have for each other. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Here in the Bible is one of the greatest definitions of the love of God that you have in front of you this morning. I'm going to take some time to read these verses through. It's on page 1153. Paul is writing to a church who are at loggerheads with each other. There's all kinds of arguments going on in this church, and Paul has to draw them back to the character of the God who loves them. And he says, now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, he says, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have love, I gain nothing. And look at this wonderful definition of agape love. God's wonderful love for you and me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was like a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So with that definition of love ringing in our ears, let's take a closer look this morning at the God who loves us. I begin with the question, how do we know that God loves us? Telling someone that you love them is an incredibly risky business. I don't know if some of you can think back, if you're older this morning, you think back to the time when you first told somebody that you loved them for the very first time. It's a risky business. You might have thought about the question for some time. You might have thought about, will I say it or will I not say it? And if I do say it, will I be rejected or will it be accepted? Perhaps if you're a little younger and you've seen the new Transformers movie, the whole sort of interplay between the boyfriend and the girlfriend in the Transformers movie is who's going to say the love word first? Telling someone that you love them is a risky business. The same is true of God. God telling us how much he loves us is a risky business. Because sadly there are many people around us today, and I hope that does not include someone who's in this room this morning, has rejected the love that God has for them. But how do you know that God loves you? It's a great question to ask this morning, isn't it? I want to give you three suggestions to that question. Firstly, I want to tell you this morning, or remind you this morning, that God tells us that he loves us. How do you know God loves you? God tells you. There's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you my name and you are mine. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. How do you know that God loves you? God has told you. He's written it down and he's put it in his word so that you can read it. And you can take it on board and you can say, I know that God loves me because he tells me that he loves me. And if you're a Christian this morning, God has called you into his family. He's redeemed you. He's called you by name. What a personal God we have. So firstly, I want to suggest to you that we know that God loves us because he tells us, he spells it out for us in his word, and we have it in front of us this morning. Secondly, we know that God loves us because he has demonstrated that love to us. And if you know anything about the stories that are in the Bible, you will see that from beginning to end, there is this wonderful demonstration of God's love over and over and over again. He demonstrated his love to Adam and Eve in the garden by giving them a second chance after the fall. He demonstrated his love to Noah and his family by sparing them from the flood. He demonstrated his love to Abraham by producing a ram for the sacrifice instead of making him sacrifice his own son. He demonstrated his love to David by forgiving his sin with Bathsheba. He demonstrated his love to Job by ending Satan's attack on his life and giving Job twice as much as he had before his testing. He demonstrated his love to the disciples of Jesus through the friendship and the teaching and the ministry of Jesus Christ. But the greatest demonstration of God's love for us this morning comes in the most dramatic way possible. As Jesus gave up his life and was sacrificed for undeserving people like you and me. And today that blood-stained cross continues to stand as the ultimate symbol of God's demonstration of his love. How do you know that God loves you this morning? He's told you. He's put in his word so that you can read it. But he's demonstrated it. Look at this verse from Romans chapter 5, a verse which many of you will know well. But maybe you're hearing some of these things for the very first time. You're listening to this sermon this morning on our website. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinful people, Christ died for us. You need to be reminded this morning of why God loves you. He's demonstrated it to you. He's shown you. He has given you the most visible communication that he can. Bread and wine, which we'll come to a little later in our service, reminds us of this great demonstration of the love that God has for people like you and me. But thirdly, we know that God loves us because he has illustrated his love for us. You see, some people, and God knows how our minds work, some of us are not good with words. And some of us need pictures in order to communicate the truth of God's word. And God's word is full of picture language as well. And so we have wonderful verses like this. For those who sort of love to go out into nature and just to think of God's wonderful creation. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So for those of you who love picture language, you know, you're going and you're looking at some of the mountains. You're able to look at the mountains. You're able to look up and you're able to think to yourself, that gives me some idea of how much God loves me. Lovely picture of friendship, which Jesus gives in John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Wonderful picture of friendship that you have there. And over again throughout the Bible, God makes it clear to us. He tells us by ensuring us that He has it. We have it in front of us this morning. If you want to be, if you want to know that God loves you this morning, you just look at His Word. He tells you. He makes it very clear to you this morning. He demonstrates it to you. He illustrates it to you. But what is God's love really like? How different is God's love from ours? How can we experience the love that we're talking about this morning? Well, there are a number of things I want you to notice about God's love, which helps us to see that it is so different from the love that you and I have for each other. There are four things I want you to notice about God's love this morning. Firstly, I want you to recognize that God's love for us is eternal. I just want you to think about that for a moment. It's pretty hard for us to get our head around that concept, isn't it? But if you're taking notes this morning, or if you're following some of these references in your Bible, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, here's a wonderful verse for us this morning. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Perhaps the best known name for God in the Bible is I am, or I will be, which points to the eternal nature of God. The Bible tells us that before the world began, God set His heart on people like you and me, a love which is spontaneous and eternal. And you have been loved by God from the very beginning of the world. Beginning of the foundations of the world is the expression that the Bible uses. I wonder if you need to hear that this morning. That God's love for you is eternal. What an overwhelming truth to hold on to. Because you see, if God's love has no beginning, it follows that God's love has no end. And God's love for you and me is an everlasting love. It's everlasting because God is eternal. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, that God's love for us is personal. It's a love that extends to everyone. Psalm 139, we've touched on a number of recent Sunday mornings, but here's this just wonderful reminder to us that God knows everything about us. You've searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. See, I want to remind you this morning that God's love for us is not some sort of abstract idea or philosophy. The Bible makes it clear that God's love is directed towards our world, even to those who refuse to acknowledge God. Day after day, God pours out His love on our world. It's what we often refer to as common grace, the unceasing, good and perfect gifts of God. The sun, the rain, the fruitful seasons, food, gladness, many social, domestic, technological blessings. God pours out His love on our world. The whole Bible story can be summed up as God's love story for people like you and me. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, you can trace God's gracious dealings with people. He desperately wanted to be part of His family. God went to extraordinary lengths to draw His people back to Himself when they wandered away. He sent them leaders. He sent them prophets. And ultimately, He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ. All part of God's demonstration of His personal love for people like you and me. Next time you stand and you look up into the sky and you see the infinite number of stars, I want you to think to yourself, I know that God loves me. He's told me, He's illustrated, He's demonstrated. I want you to be reminded that God's love is eternal. I want you to be reminded that God's love is personal. Thirdly, I want you to be reminded this morning that God's love for us is gracious. And here's where some of us really struggle. Because we are so used to the concept of earning things. As children, we are taught that if you want something, you have to earn it. I don't know, parents, you take this track with your children, but certainly when I was being brought up, I was given pocket money, but I had to earn my pocket money. When I wanted to get a summer job and I wanted some money, I had to go out there and I had to earn that money. And so our children grow up, and we grow up through this world with this understanding that if we want to get something, we have to earn it. You cannot get anything for nothing. As adults, we know that if you want a sales reward, you've got to go out and sell. If you want to put a promotion in work, you've got to go out and put in the hours. If you want to succeed in your career or sport or financially, you have to put in the effort, otherwise it won't happen. And based on that understanding, many people in this world spend their lives attempting to please God by doing good and being good. Attempting to earn God's love and approval. And I want to remind you this morning that God's love for people like you and me is gracious. See, there's a problem when we approach God thinking that we have to do things in order to be accepted and loved by God. What happens when you have a bad day? Does God love you more in the morning than he does in the afternoon? Does he love you more yesterday than he does tomorrow? What do we need to do in order to know that we're loved and accepted by God? We need to remember that we can do nothing in order to be accepted and loved by God. The Bible says to us, the best that you can do for God is like filthy rags in his sight. That's a great leveling verse, isn't it, in Isaiah? The very best that you have ever done in your life, the best day that you have had, the day that you have come and you've come home to yourself and think, I've actually been a pretty good person today. I've done the kind of things that I want to do. I've actually pleased myself because I actually have measured up to my own standards today. God says, it's like filthy rags in my sight. There's a huge gap between us and God. But the great news of the Christian faith is that God's love bridges that gap. That's why when you come to Psalm 103, which we've touched on already, we read these words, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. It's what we call the grace of God. It is something that you cannot earn. It is something you can only accept as a free gift. And the New Testament makes it very clear to us that we come into a relationship with the God who made us by God's grace. It comes as a gift to us. It is part of God's gracious love. Grace sets us free from thinking that we have to do things in order to be accepted by God. Grace sets us free from the thought of being rejected by God. Grace sets us free by allowing us to accept the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ, which we receive through repentance and faith. The God who loves us. We have an amazing God, don't we? Next, I want you to notice that God's love for us is holy. There's an important counterbalance in God's word. You see, God's love never conflicts with his holiness. God's love cannot turn a blind eye to our sinfulness because God's love is pure. We can't just pick and choose the aspects of God's love that we like. We say, well, I like the personal bit. I like the eternal bit. I like the gracious bit. You see, we have to put these pictures together. God's love for us is holy. That stops us from just living as we please because God's love is a holy love. And there are times when he will display that love as a tough love. There will be times when we will feel his discipline on our lives simply because he loves us. Here's a verse in Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. In other words, when you sense God's tough love on your life, don't give up. Because that's God's way of drawing you back to himself. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And I want you to notice, finally, this morning, that God's love for us is unconditional. Paul, when he writes a letter to the church at Rome, asks a very important question that lots of us ask at some time in our lives. The question goes a bit like this: can anything separate me from the love of God? I think that's a question some of our older folks have, particularly as people stop getting to church because they're unable to get to church because of ill health or passing years. And we don't have the encouragement, and they don't have the encouragement of meeting together. And sometimes I'm asked that question, can anything separate me from God's love? Does God really love you and me forever? Not just on the days when we dress up and make ourselves look good. On the days when we feel that we're okay with God. What about the days in which we mess up? What about the days when you get grumpy and irritable? Ever happened to you? No, I'm sure it doesn't. What about the day when we would run a mile if people could read some of our thoughts? Or when our tongues are sharp enough to slice a rock by some of the things that we say about somebody else? Does God love me then? Maybe we never ask that question out loud, but we think it, don't we? Can I drift too far from God? Can I mess up in such a way that God's love will never reach me again? Is there anything that I can do that will stop God from loving me? Paul answers that question in Romans chapter 8. Puts it like this. And here's a summary of what he says. For I am convinced, he says, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. This is what he says in detail. He says, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing God we have. Do you feel and sense the overwhelming love that God has for you this morning? A love that is eternal. God's love for you will never end. It's eternal, it's everlasting. It's personal, it's gracious, it's holy, it's unconditional. We can add other words like infinite and sovereign. But I want to take you back to the challenge of this quotation that we started with. The better that we are acquainted with his love, the more our hearts will be drawn out in love to him. What does it actually mean for us this morning to say that God loves us? How will that change the way you move out into this week with the knowledge that you are deeply loved by God? I want to make four brief suggestions as we conclude this morning. Here's the first one. Recognizing God's love will lead us to faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're saying this, well, how can I be sure that God loves me? We looked at this verse a few moments ago, didn't we, that actually says this, God's greatest demonstration of his love for us is that while we were in rebellion against God, living life to please ourselves, Christ Jesus died for us. What more could God do to show you that he loves you than sending his only son into this world to die for you? Or if you know the story of the prodigal son, some of us were thinking about this as men yesterday morning, the picture of a father who stands and waits for his rebellious son to return, day after day, waiting for his son to come back. Or the father going out to find the older son and to draw the older son back into the feast. And why do we have that picture of God as the father in that picture? Because Jesus wants us to know that we have a God who loves us more than we can ever understand. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, have you responded to the love that God has for you? Because the danger is that we can take the good things which God gives to us, as we often say, and just push the giver of those gifts out of our lives. If you recognize something, that a love that God has for you, it can lead you to faith in Jesus Christ, which comes through repentance and faith. But secondly, I want to suggest to you this morning that recognizing God's love for us will encourage obedience. That quotation we're looking at this morning says, the better we are acquainted with God's love, the more our hearts will be drawn out in love to him. There's a verse in 1 John which gives us a real practical challenge of how much we understand God's love. How much we've experienced God's love. This is what John says. He has given us this command. Anybody who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I got a lovely practical demonstration of this yesterday. I received an email from somebody across the water going through a really difficult situation. A number of us have been trying to help. And this email came because there was a sort of watershed yesterday and a line was drawn in the sand. And this person wanted to write a letter of thanks to people who had helped. And I was very struck in the light of this sermon this morning of how this email ended. Thank you for all your love, helpfulness, and willingness to help me because of your love for him. I thought, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Thank you for your love, your helpfulness, your willingness to help me because of your love for God. Practicing God's love encourages obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Thirdly, I want to suggest to you, and this is really important, living in God's love, living in the light of God's love affects the way in which you see yourself. There are so many people who really struggle with this issue. We take you back to this verse that we found in Isaiah at the beginning of our service. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You're precious, you're honored in my sight, and I love you. You may feel this morning that you are the most unloved person in this world. You may have a very low opinion of yourself. But I want to remind you this morning that you are loved by God. That you really matter to God. You may have had a tough childhood. You may have had all kinds of things said to you as a child, which has distorted the way in which you see and understand yourself. You may have had things happen to you in your life. You may have been demolished and destroyed by some of the knocks and the hard times of life, and you just feel this morning that you have no opinion of yourself. I want to show you this morning, the more you understand the love that God has for you, the greater that will help you in how you see yourself. Not in any big-headed way, but you will be able to say to yourself, I have been called by name. I am loved by God. God loves me. I am precious to God. That has to change the way in which we understand our relationship with God and in how we see ourselves. By the way, Bill Hybels puts it in one of his books. He says, if you're living in the light of the love of God, he says you become secure so that you could take risks that you never used to take. You realize that you are loved by God enough to experience failure and not to be wiped out. You can try things that you never dared before because you have the undergirding of knowing that no failure is final when you are loved by God. Who says the Sunday morning series is not practical when it comes to working out what the love of God means in our lives? Finally, I want you to notice this morning that experiencing God's love brings us peace in a very, very uncertain world. Because if you're a follower of Christ this morning, you will know that no matter what happens to you, nothing can separate you from the love that God has for you. And that Paul was saying to us at the end of Romans chapter 8, for I'm convinced, and boy, he had a few things in his life that he knew what he was talking about. He had enough tough experiences in his life to ask the question of, can anything separate me from the love of God? And this is his own personal testimony. He says, I'm convinced, he says, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love that God has for us. Not even death itself. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the more we begin to experience the love of God, the more you will feel watched over, the more you will feel protected, the safer you will feel. There is nothing that can compare with living in the light of God's love. So what have we discovered this morning about the love of God? Well, as this quotation challenges us, the better we're acquainted with his love, the more our hearts will be drawn out in love to him. I pray this morning that your hearts are being drawn out in love for God this morning. We have an amazing God. How do you know that God loves you? He's told you. It's written out so that you can read it for yourself. He's demonstrated it. Most clearly in the death of his son, Jesus Christ. He's illustrated it with numerous pictures that run through the Bible from beginning to end. God's love for us this morning is eternal. It's everlasting. It's personal. It's gracious. It's holy. And it's unconditional.